amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it has been already being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Titus in chapter 3, Titus in chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9 this morning. Titus chapter 3, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning, starting in verse 1. Ending in verse 9, as I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You this morning, it's a blessing to be in church today. Thank You for the privilege of being here. Thank You for Your presence in this place. And now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I believe that You have a message that You want each and every one of us to hear. And I pray, God, that You would speak to each one of us as we have need to be spoken to. I pray that You would empower the preaching. Use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul writes this epistle to Titus, and as he writes this epistle to Titus, he wants Titus to set in order all that God wants in order in all the churches in Crete. We find here in chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." Now, Crete was an island with many cities and villages, and this particular island was inhabited by a very rough and somewhat ungodly people. The Bible says, as Paul writes to Titus, he mentions a few things about the people of Crete, that many of them had now been saved, and they had established churches throughout all of the island of Crete. And he says in verse 10, he says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the uncircumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.'" All these things had been taking place on this island of Crete. "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." So that's what Paul is directing Titus, And that's what he is to do, is to go in, and after Paul is leaving, we don't know exactly why Paul had to leave, whether he was run out of town, off the island of Crete, or what's going on. The Bible doesn't say that. But Paul does bring in Titus, and Titus is to go to all the churches that had been established in all the cities and to put things in order and help the people to understand the very words of God. Now, in doing that, he gives us chapter 3 and says a lot of things there in verse 1 down to verse 8. But in verse 8, he says this. He says, be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then in verse 9, he says, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. And this is what I want you to see, for they are unprofitable and vain. I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've simply entitled, To Know What Is Profitable and What Is Unprofitable. We need to know that. Amen. To know what is profitable to ourselves, to civilization, and we need to know what is unprofitable. I am convinced that too many believers spend too much time and energy on unprofitable things. At the end of the day, sometimes we've been so distracted and we ask ourselves, what really did I accomplish today? Sometimes it's the end of the month, maybe the end of a year, and tragically, sometimes at the end of our lives. We look over our lives and we ask ourselves, just what have I accomplished? Has my life made a difference? Can I tell you, it's Satan's plan to keep us from serving God and accomplishing profitable things. Amen. So in verse 8, first of all, he says these things are good and profitable. Just what are these things that Paul is mentioning here? That he wanted Titus to constantly affirm. If you look at verse 8, that's what he said there. He says, be careful to maintain good works. And in the beginning of the verse, he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things have I will that thou affirm constantly. It's something that the people need to hear over and over and over again. It's something that if we are not hearing this over and over and over again, then we will become blinded to that and we will be led astray into unprofitable things. That's what he is presenting here. Can I tell you, if we truly believe in God and His love and in Jesus Christ and His church, how can we not be involved in good works? We do know that there is a God. We believe in God. We do know that God loves humanity. And we do know that He sent His only begotten Son, that Jesus Christ came some 2,000 years ago and established His church that would remain, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it throughout this church age. And He's established His church and planted believers in His church so that they would accomplish good things, profitable things. Now we know that works do not save us. The Bible is very clear that we are by grace, are you saved through faith. But if you know that there's a God, if you know that God loves humanity, if you know that Jesus Christ came, He established His church, if you know that this world is blinded to the things of God, and there's so many things that need to be done, how could we not be involved in a regular basis in accomplishing good works or profitable things? I believe that salvation will stir us to maintain them. If you weren't here in Sunday morning Sunday school, we actually studied some of this chapter in chapter 3 of Titus, and understanding some things about once you get saved, it's a born-again experience. You got to be able to go back to where you were saved, just like you go back to where you were born of the flesh. When you're born of the Spirit, that's when you got saved. And when you go back to that, it's when you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. And if you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, it will start changing your way of thinking, and it will change your physical body to become the temple of God. And an understanding that my life does matter. My life is Christ living in me, and there's things that I need to accomplish. Profitable things. So what are these good works? Now, we find here that Paul mentions a few of those to Titus that he is supposed to preach that they didn't have on the island of Crete, but they needed to establish. The first thing, if you go back up to verse 1, he says, put them in mind. Put them in mind. Now, this is what he's talking about affirm constantly. It's about what he's talking about good works. To be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, this first thing that Paul is presenting to Titus, that Titus needed to preach to the inhabitants of Crete, especially in the churches, is our civic duty. Our civic duty. Believers around the globe in all the church age, this is something that is vitally important for the work of Christ, is that believers understand the need for our civic duty, God's will, if you will, for humanity in law and order. If we do not live in a society of law and order, then it will hinder what God has us here to accomplish, and that is reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we do not have law and order, and especially if you do not have religious freedoms, then we as a church would not be able to speak openly and publicly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have looked over our history of humanity, even after Christ came over the last 2,000 years, and we found that where the gospel was hindered, if Satan had his way, he would keep the gospel from ever being preached. He would keep you from ever going door to door and witnessing for Christ. He will keep you from telling somebody that they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell, and that the only hope that they have of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we do not have law and order, then we hinder the work that God has us to do on this present earth and in society. And that's why it is God's will for every believer to understand this and understand that we ought to, as much as lieth within us, not only live peaceably with all men, but we are to support law and order, which God has established through government. I'll be the first one to tell you that I'm not in agreement with government all the time, but I am going to honor law and order. And I'm going to honor positions that God has established in government. No matter who you're under, it's authority, and all authority actually stems from God. Now, God is the highest authority, and I should never turn away from God under any authority. I always seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm looking to God and His authority. But as I look to God, you cannot but see that God would have us to honor and respect the authority that leads to law and order. That's just good works. That is part of what we have to do in order to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. Look over, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I don't know how those that get around the Bible that claim to be Christian and then take up arms against the government. The Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, this is Bible. Not only is it found in Titus, and this is one of the things that Paul says, Titus, we need law and order on the island of Crete. If we don't have all in order, then the churches will not flourish. We will not be able to accomplish what we've established these churches here to accomplish. So we find here over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. That's the Bible right there. Submit yourselves, he's talking to believers here, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, how in the world would it be for the Lord's sake? For the work of God. For us to accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well, law and order. For so is the will of God. It's the will of God, church. It's the will of God, believer. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. If you're not supporting law and order, then you're giving the devil room to be able to speak against you. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Can I tell you, it's our work. It's something that we need to be mindful of. Honor positions of authority. Obey the laws. I know for me, it's hard work to be able to keep within that 10 mile an hour over the speed limit. Amen. I think there's a 10 mile an hour cushion there. But even that's hard work for me when I'm driving. I got it. No. The old flesh says, no, speed up. And then I reason it out and think, I don't want to have to pay a $200 ticket, so I better let off the gas. But what if there were no speed limits? What if there were no laws and order? No stop signs, no stop lights, no speed zones, no school zones. What do you think, how would it be getting out on the roads? You couldn't drive. Because there's always crazies out there, amen? We couldn't even drive without law and order. What if there were no prisons? What if there were no jails? What if there were no one would have any law to live by? If you didn't have a police to call, if you didn't have the fire department, if you didn't have government, listen to me. We have to understand, if we are going to live in society as God would have us to live and have a testimony, be able to witness and to be able to exalt Jesus Christ, we must have law and order. All around the world, it's law and order that gives us opportunities to send missionaries, to establish churches, to see souls saved. It's profitable. It's profitable. It's what God would have us to do. The second thing he tells us there in Titus, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now he refers to all men. Speak evil of no man. Can I tell you that Jesus addresses this? Look over with me at Matthew chapter 22. I believe that you can put most of what we do into these two categories here. Understanding law and order. Understanding having a respect and, if you will, a love for all people. Having a love and respect for all people basically is what he was saying there. In Matthew chapter 22. Because that's exactly what Jesus taught. Render unto Caesar that which belongeth to Caesar. Render unto God the things that belong unto God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he says this. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. When you're loving God first, you're aware of how God would have you to live and what God would have you to accomplish. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we're going to accomplish profitable things on this planet Earth in this 21st century, then God's people especially are going to have to understand honor, law, and order. And God's people are going to have to understand that we have a love for all humanity. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So basically, profitable things, not only is our civic duties, but also love your neighbor. Think about their needs. When you love someone, you want them to be provided for. When you love someone, you want to be there for them whenever they have a need. Amen? Right. If you love your family, you want to take care of your family. You want to provide for your family. If you fail to provide for your family, husbands, you're worse than an infidel. That's part of loving your families. If we have a love for humanity, can I tell you the very first thing that you ought to be mindful of as far as the need of humanity is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every person that you see walking on planet Earth, if they do not at some point in their life receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're going to die and go to an eternal hell. How can you let that happen? If you love humanity as God loved humanity and gave his only begotten son, for God so loved the world, that's all humanity. He understood that what they needed most of all is a Savior. Profitable things, as we are serving God, we have to first of all make sure that we continue to have an area, a law and order, an earth, a society where we can do the work that God's called us to do. And then we need to understand that work is reaching them with the gospel of Christ. Whether it's people in your family, whether it's people in your neighborhood, whether it's people at your work or at your school. Loving your neighbor is understanding what they have need of most of all, and what all people have need of most of all is salvation. Because once you get salvation, you have been regened. And you are beginning to be renewed. As we studied in Sunday school this morning. As I taught the illustration in Sunday school this morning, and it's a big deal today with all the fixer-uppers and flipping houses, and there's all, and the one in Indianapolis that I've heard the most about is this idea of new bones. And I said, that is salvation. Comes under new ownership to start with. Amen. Same old bones. Amen? Same old bones. But it comes under new ownership, and the first thing you do is get rid of all the stench and all the damaged materials inside. And when you get rid of all the stench and all the damaged material inside, then you see you replace it with all the righteousness, or if you will, all the good things in the house. That's salvation. What a picture of salvation. Salvage those old bones. Got rid of all that old stuff, all that old stench, and renewed it in Christ. That's important. That's important. That's works. That's being involved in good works. You gotta love your neighbor. First thing they have is need is to be saved, and then a chance to be discipled. Once you're purchased, now you have to do the work. It takes a time. It takes a little while to get rid of all the garbage inside and all the stench inside. It takes a little time to start replacing that with good material. That's where the church comes in. The good works that we have is in society and then in the church. And the church is here not only to reach them, but to bring them into so that we can get them baptized and disciple them for the cause of Christ. That's the work. That's all profitable. That's the profitable things that we all need to be involved in. It's a good work. Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians in chapter 6. In the book of Galatians in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season..." You see, you got to be reminded constantly, because if not, you're going to get weary. And the devil's going to start putting on your mind, does it really matter? Is it making a difference? Am I accomplishing anything? And you come to church and it's reaffirmed every time you come through the doors. There is a God. You have a purpose in life. And there are good works that God wants you to accomplish. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." In due season, it's coming. I know it's coming. "We shall reap if we faint not." And he says in verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of God." Discipleship, how important it is. Wow. That's profitable things. But too often, instead of being involved in those profitable things, we stay involved in unprofitable things. What are they? Very quickly, look back with me to our text here this morning in Titus in chapter 3, verse 9. "But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, and striving about the law." Just a few things that I believe too many believers are getting involved in and wasting time and effort. Unprofitable things. Avoid foolish questions. You know what Satan would love to take up your time with? Trying to explain spiritual things to the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. This is something that we all need to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, "But the natural man," that's a lost man. The natural man, when you see that, it's talking about the unregenerated man, the unsaved. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Why do you go to church? Why do you tithe? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? "They receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Stop wasting time trying to explain why you do things to a lost person. What you need to spend your time with a lost person is getting them saved. Until they get saved, they cannot and they will not understand why you come to church when the church doors are open. They cannot understand and they will not understand why you tithe. They will not understand why you witness to others. They will not understand why you have standards, why you do what you do. They will not understand spiritual things because they are lost and they cannot. The thing that we need to understand is the lost need to get saved. And once they're saved, they'll start coming to an understanding. Yeah. Too often we try to disciple lost people And you can't disciple a lost person. You have to get them saved first.
That's right, sir.
And then you disciple them. Foolish questions. Genealogies. Especially in the Bible days, and especially the Pharisees, you find this more than any others. They would address Jesus and they say, "We are the seed of Abraham." Like it was going to impress him. Too often we're trying to find out our roots and our genealogies, going back, thinking it's going to make us better people because I have heritage. I have this and that and the other. Listen to me. That is not going to make you a better person. We spend too much time trying to find out our genealogies. Search down, and it's a big thing today. I don't understand it. But you might not like what you find. Well, I'm related to, I'm of the seed of David, yes, but Amnon, his own son, was raped his own daughter, raped his sister. That going to make you happy when you find out that you're a descendant of Amnon? Stop tracing back your genealogy. Stop trying to figure out because of this person and that person, I was this and that. No, he says, stop doing that. He says, our ancestry will make us better than someone else. No. Are you in Christ today? Because he's the one that makes you better. He's the one that makes you a new creature. He's the one that brings you into the very presence of God. And you become the children of God once you get saved. Stop focusing on what's going to make you better with your ancestry. And look to Jesus Christ and let him make you better today. Amen. Amen. You don't have to follow in the ways of your fathers. Right. If you look to Christ, he'll put you on the right path. Yes, genealogies. Contentions. Contentions, stirring up trouble or strife. Too many spend too much time stirring up trouble. Telling people things they don't need to hear. Just to prove that you know something that somebody else doesn't know. What good is that going to do? Philippians in chapter 2. Almost done here. But this is unprofitable things. And way too many people, especially in the church, are spending much too much time wasting their opportunities. Instead of doing profitable things, they are focused on unprofitable things. In the book of Philippians in chapter 2, not only did Paul want Titus to put the church in Crete in mind of this thing, but God would have every pastor to put every church in mind to be mindful of these things. Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. That's profitable. For you to say, God, help me to be a peacemaker. God, help me to squelch any kind of schisms in the church. Help me to bring unity to the family of believers. That is profitable. What is unprofitable is going behind somebody else's back and telling somebody else something that they don't need to know. And talking negatively about others and causing troubles and taking up making different kind of groups standing against other groups. I trust that even our high school age young people have gotten over that. That's childish. Amen. Well, we need to look for the profitable things. Turn away from the unprofitable contentions. And the last one is striving about the law. It's unprofitable. See, we need to know Bible doctrine and stop arguing over personal preferences. Stop trying to make a personal preference a doctrinal issue. There's way more important things that are going on in life than to strive about the law. If you're looking at the importance of what you eat, very important. The most important thing is how nutritious is it? How it's going to affect my body when I consume it. That would be the most important thing. How many calories, how many fat grams, that might be something that you'd consider. How it's prepared might be something to consider. I mean, I'm making a list of things. We all have to eat, okay? So what we eat and how much of this, how it's prepared. Go on down the list, and whether it's on a plate, glass plate, or paper plate. Or then you go on down, whether it's consumed with a spoon or a fork. There's some people that can't get over eating something that they think ought to be eaten with a fork, and you're eating it with a spoon. And they spend their whole time trying to convince you, you need to put away that fork and get a spoon. How crazy is that? And yet, Satan has churches fighting each other, membership fighting each other, and telling you this and that and whatever over a preference. When the most important thing is doctrine. We need to know doctrine and hold fast to the doctrines of our faith. Don't compromise those doctrines. But stop fussing over whether a spoon or a fork is used. That's exactly what he's saying there. That's unprofitable. It's unprofitable. It's not going to help the cause of Christ one bit. Too many spend too much time and energy with unprofitable things. Church, believers, let's focus on that which is profitable. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Satan got you wasting your life with unprofitable things. Maybe it's a time to get that turned around. Maybe it's time to bring that to this altar and say, God, help me to focus on that which is profitable. First, you need to ask yourself, am I truly saved? You're not going to understand the spiritual things of God until you find Christ as your Savior. And then once you get saved, God has a purpose and a plan for your life to focus on profitable things, good works. Where are you at? Don't waste your life. Don't let Satan fill it with unprofitable things. Father, we bow before you. We thank you, Lord God, for this passage of Scripture that we learn from the book of Titus as Paul is instructing Titus concerning the churches in Crete and what you would have me to instruct our church here in Indianapolis, what you would have preachers to preach all over the world concerning profitable things. Help us individually and collectively as a church to stay focused on that which is profitable. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.